This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. This hour, we're going to be talking about healthcare reform. And after many years of not much happening on healthcare reform with the new Congress, things are beginning to free up just a little bit. And our first story this hour illustrates part of that. Consider this scenario. Scientists announced last week, the discovery of a gene that increases the risk of heart disease in certain people. Now, fast forward to the future, when they have created a simple genetic test that would tell whether or not a person has that variant. Now you're in the future and your doctor is thinking that you might be at risk, so he or she recommends that test for you. Should you take it? Would you take it? Think about it. You might be fearful of taking the test because you're worried that your insurance company could deny you coverage, or a potential boss might not want to hire you if the results of that test become public. Well, a bill that passed in the House last month by a vote of 420 to 3 addresses those issues. It would protect people from discrimination based on genetic information. And if it becomes law, it could go a long way toward making genetic testing, as it becomes more commonplace, a routine part of medical care. It might take out some of the fear from that. Joining me now to talk about that bill, the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act of 2007, or GINA for short, is Garen Politz, research professor and project director at Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. Might pronounce it GINA if you care. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you very much.
Now, let's talk about this. How come all of a sudden we've got a vote of 420-3, which is obviously both parties, passing a bill like this? We couldn't get something like this through Congress before.
Well, it is a pretty big vote. And in fact, this bill has it's been sitting around in Congress for a long time. It was first introduced back in 1995. Congresswoman Louise Slaughter from New York put in the first Genetic Non-Discrimination Act, and Congress has looked at it for a long time and has even taken some action on it. Back in 2005, 2 years ago, this bill, or a version of this bill, passed the Senate by a vote of 98-0. Mm-hmm. And 2 years before that, it passed the Senate by 95-0. So when it is acted upon, it seems to get very broad bipartisan support, but it's never made it all the way through the Congress. And hopefully this year will be different.
And the president has indicated he will what?
He has indicated he would sign the bill.
Wow. From nothing to everything in almost no time.
Well, but we're not there yet. As I mentioned in the past, in two previous Congresses, right, this bill went through on the other side of the Capitol, through the Senate by an overwhelming vote, and then just stalled in the House, and no action was taken. And now it started on the House side, and we're waiting on the Senate to act. It has been moved through the key committee that needs to consider it, Senator Kennedy's health committee, and it passed by a large vote in that committee as well. But apparently one senator has a hold on the bill, and under Senate rules, you can anonymously bottle up a bill so that it can't come to the floor, and that's what's happening currently. Everyone's waiting to see if that can be vacated and the bill can move through. So hopefully this is the year.
So some senator is holding it up anonymously on the Senate side.
Yeah, and the opposition to this bill has tended to be that way over the years. There, you know, for all that this has been pending for 12 years now, there's really never been sort of a strong group who would stand up and say, you know, oh, we favor discrimination based on genetic information. So the opposition has mostly been kind of quiet and behind the scenes.
So if we find out who that senator is and hold him he or she up to the scrutiny of daylight,
that would probably be a good thing.
That would be good. Tell us, let's talk, we talked around the bill. Tell us what exactly it would protect you from.
Sure. Well, the bill has two parts, two titles. The first part would prohibit health insurance companies from using the results of genetic tests to deny coverage or raising your insurance premiums or excluding covered benefits by declaring your genetic test information a pre-existing condition. And then the second title would prohibit employers from discriminating against their employees based on their genetic information.
Is there a penalty with this if you don't follow that?
Oh, yes, indeed. The insurance The insurance title would be enforced by federal law. The federal government would have the ability to assess fines against insurers and employer-sponsored health plans for violations of this act, and states could also continue to enforce their genetic non-discrimination laws. And state penalties often are more significant, up to and including pulling the license of the insurance company so they can't do business.
There are states that already have,
many states, yeah, yes. More than 40 states now make it illegal to discriminate based on genetic information in health insurance. So this would create that protection nationwide.
Do you have evidence that that people are choosing not to be tested because they are afraid of this information being used against them?
There is evidence. Francis Collins, who's the director of the National Human Genome Research Institute at NIH, has testified that as many as a third of the patients who are invited to participate in research trials that involve genetic testing have declined because they're afraid that the information might be used against them in discriminatory ways. And he's testified that that hurts all of us, because scientists believe that eventually genetic research will unlock the secrets to treating and curing and even preventing many serious health conditions, the way you described at the beginning. So by taking discrimination off the table, it is hoped that the pace of research and that these kinds of discoveries can be advanced.
How do we protect, and what is in the bill that might protect somebody from an employer, a potential employer, or somebody already on the job who wants to use this against them?
Well, the bill makes very clear that employers cannot base decisions to hire, fire, how they pay, what benefits they give, or any other working conditions on genetic information. So that would be flat out illegal, and violation of that would be the violation of the similar to other discrimination laws that are prohibited under our Civil Rights Act. In addition, employers can't even ask you about your genetic information. So it would be illegal for employers to inquire about this, except for very kind of specific exceptions, for example, where workplace safety would require that people not be exposed, for example, to toxins if they're genetically more vulnerable and so forth. So employers can't discriminate against you, and they can't even ask for this information. And when they do happen to have it, because, again, sometimes there is an important workplace safety reason for employers to have this, they need to keep the information in a separate place, securely locked up. They can't disclose it to anybody else, and they can't use it against you.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones to Paula in Reno, Nevada. Hi, Paula.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. Go ahead.
Good. I just wanted to comment about this whole thing. My brother passed away of alpha-1 antitrypsin, which is a genetic disease, and his grandchildren were refusing to have them tested. We've had him tested privately, but not, you know, recorded. So that's just one comment.
Oh, so you're now happy to hear about this because these kids can be tested, or they not be fearful of it affecting their employment or their health coverage.
Very happy with it. Yes.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
See, already people are talking about it.
Well, it is important. It is incredibly important. There was actually testimony at one of the hearings that I participated in where it was discussed that a mother who had that very same condition, alpha-1 antitrypsin, had trouble getting her children health insurance because they carried this same kind of genetic mutation. They didn't have the condition, but because they were carriers, a health insurance company refused to sell them health insurance. So it is a very real fear, this fear of discrimination, and very important for the Congress to act quickly to take that off the table.
Well, let's talk a bit about privacy. Is there anything in this bill that guarantees the privacy of the genetic information?
It is mostly a non-discrimination bill. It's not a privacy bill per se, although there are some privacy provisions. In health insurance, currently genetic information is treated like all other personal health information, and it is subject to the privacy protections under HIPAA, those HIPAA forms that you fill out in your doctor's waiting rooms. Those protections currently apply to genetic information and would continue to. So in the health insurance context, when your information gets used in paying health insurance claims, there are protections and there are penalties, including even up to criminal penalties for violating those. Importantly, the HIPAA privacy protections don't apply to employers, and something that Gina did was apply confidentiality standards for employers when they do have access to your information. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, when they have it, they need to keep it in a separate place. They need to keep it locked up securely. They can't mix it in with the other employment information that they have about you, and there are penalties if they disclose that information inappropriately or give it to anybody else.
Let's go to Robin in Reno. Hi, Robin.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a genetics professional, and the information that I've gotten through my professional organization, I won't mention any names here, but it's a Republican senator from Oklahoma that has put a hold on the bill this year, and we in the genetics community are very distressed because, as your guest said, this bill has been pending for over 10 years now, trying to get through Congress. And now to have this hold on it is very distressing. So I just wanted to share that information.
Okay, no names, but you say it's a Republican senator from Oklahoma. We can't verify that, so it's a rumor up to this point.
Well, that's the information I've gotten from my professional organization.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you,
Karen. We're gonna keep you on. We're gonna cover the rest of the hour. We're gonna talk about healthcare issues for the rest of the hour. So we'll talk more about this issue because Karen Pollitz is gonna stay with us. So we're gonna talk about other healthcare issues, about healthcare in general, what the state of medical healthcare, of insurance, healthcare insurance. What can we do to change it? Maybe this new Congress will have some new ideas. We're hearing big businesses already saying, you know, we need some guidelines. So. You know, we're paying a lot of money for healthcare coverage. What about moving it out of our domain or making sure everybody's covered so we're all on the same playing field? Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.